And welcome back to another action-packed episode of the Deadly Podcast Kung Fu, brought to you by the Villains Man, myself, JVD, as I attempt to traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artists in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. If you want to keep up with the podcast, you can do so over on Instagram and Twitter over at Deadly Kung Fu Pod, or you can follow myself on Twitter at JVD of TVD. Now today, we are diving right back into Marvel 2-in-1 Issue 29, which is a team-up with the ever-loving Blue-Eyed Thing and Shang-Chi. Actually, not too long ago, we covered issue 25 where Thing teamed up with Iron Fist with my good friends Mike and Zach over at Multiverse Badness. So please go check out that episode and then go subscribe to their very hilarious podcast where they review the worst in comic books. And sometimes they think they've got a stinker and they don't. Turns out to be pretty good. Go subscribe to those guys. Now, Marvel 2-in-1 number 29 was released on April 5th, 1977, along with seven other issues from Marvel on the comic book shelves. We have Marvel Preview number 10, Savage Sword of Conan number 19, Daredevil number 147, Invaders 18, Marvel Super Action Volume 2 number 2, Marvel Super Heroes 65, and Tomb of Dracula number 58. Now, the title of this story is called Two Against Hydra. Your creative team is writer Marv Wolfman. Pencils are Ron Wilson, inks belong to Sam Granger, letterers is John Costanza, and the editor is Marv Wolfman. Kind of just like it was with issue number 25. The cover is done by Rich Buckler. Very interesting cover. I like this. It's just Shang-Chi and Thing in the middle of a Hydra horde. And they are doing everything that they can to fight these guys off. One of them says, "Keep attacking. If only one of us breaches the door beyond, the world shall be ours." Kind of has nothing to do with the book. But whatever, that's just how comics go. Now on to the synopsis of the story. Ben Grimm, aka The Thing, and Alicia Masters walk the streets of London talking about their life together. As usual, Ben has his doubts and fears due to his appearance. But Alicia reminds him she loves him for who he is, not for what he looks like. Pushing the conversation aside, Thing reminds her they need to meet with Dr. Lewis Court, the only man Reed Richards thinks can save Deathlok. Upon arrival, they discover someone has broken into the biogeneticist's home. Elsewhere in a hidden location, a Hydra leader monologues to the captured Dr. Court. They need Lewis to create a serum to test on a woman obscured by shadow in a containment pod. As he refuses to do so, they threaten to kill his daughter, who they have captured, which forces the doctor to cooperate. Watching his reflection from a stream stare back at him, Shang-Chi contemplates how his path to peace has become a road to violence. He is torn from his thoughts as a cry of denial fills the air. Uncertain if it's real or a trap, Shang-Chi runs towards a scream with the idea of helping, but realizing his hands are already clenched as fist. Arriving at Dr. Court's ransacked home, Shang-Chi finds Alicia Masters dismayed as Thing comes running down the stairs. Think the monster is to blame, master of kung fu attacks. Quickly realizing he's outclassed in strength and durability, Shang-Chi uses Ben's own momentum and weight against him. As the Thing begins throwing furniture, our hero learns he's made a mistake as he notices something in the living room. He surrenders peacefully as Alicia points out to Ben what she screamed about. Blood. After an explanation of why he's here, Shang-Chi knows the doctor Thing is looking for and makes a call to MI6. A short time later, both heroes arrive at an Italian restaurant, and to the surprise of the customers, Thing goes into the kitchen and begins tearing the place apart. Finding a hidden latch in the floor, he and Shang-Chi entered and are immediately attacked by Hydra soldiers. The two easily dispatch the seemingly endless units as they make their way to the chambers below. Realizing defeat is possibly at hand, the Hydra leader demands the serum from Dr. Court, ignoring his claim that it's not perfected. Before he can take it, the heroes break into the lab and continue their assault. As Shang-Chi holds off the soldiers, the Thing grabs Dr. Lewis and runs him upstairs. Though he is saved, the doctor warns the two heroes that Hydra still has his daughter held hostage. They quickly race to her apartment as the soldiers get orders to kill Angelica and her boyfriend. As they point the firearms at the lovers, Shang-Chi and Thing barge into the room to save them. Dr. Court thanks the two heroes and agrees to save Deathlok for doing so. Back at the destroyed Hydra hideout, their leader holds up the serum dropped by the doctor during the escape. Now with the chemical composition complete, they can create hundreds of warriors, just like the woman in the containment pod that opens up to reveal Spider-Woman. At first, this was short and sweet. I didn't think it was going to lead up to anything, but it actually turns out to be a pretty important story in the history of Marvel due to Spider-Woman. But I'm going to get more on that after I take a break, play a broadcasting promo from one of our friends, and then I'm going to dive into Marvel 2-in-1 number 29.
Hey, this is Chris.
And Lance.
Asking you to check out our new podcast, Comic Book Keepers.
Join us as we delve deep into comic lore to uncover the history behind a wide variety of comic book characters. Doesn't make sense, but it sounds awesome.
It's comic physics. Each episode will feature one hero, villain, team, or ensemble, and break down what makes these heroes super.
We'll give you recommendations on what storylines to read.
If you're going to read one Joker story, this might be it. Explain how characters were created.
And the publisher said it was the worst thing he had ever heard. Discuss adaptations, costumes, and answer comic fandom's what-if questions.
If we were to make a new turtle, what would they look like? And of course, the important question, what color would their headband be? Yeah, and spoiler alert, these conversations can get pretty nerdy. He can't die. He's basically Highlander that can fly, you know, with like huge muscles. And he's been around so long, and he was Abraham Lincoln.
He was
like...
Abraham Lincoln. This is Comic Book Keepers.
And welcome back to Dilly Podcast, Kung Fu, brought to you by the Villains Man, myself, JVD. We're talking Marvel 2-in-1 number 29, which led me down a huge rabbit hole of stories to read that were all referenced in this book. Now, between Marvel Spotlight and the Bronze Age Monster podcast, because I've been reading some of the Son of Satan stuff as they're covering it week by week, I've read a lot of that book. I have also read a lot of Marvel 2-in-1 due to this story. So, and you're going to need to read these, otherwise you're going to be completely confused on why Spider-Woman's here, why we're trying to save Deathlok. So, in Marvel, 32 is actually the first appearance of Spider-Woman, and this book is her second appearance, which kind of shocked me. The way Marvel Spotlight 32 ends, and the way this book ends, you have no clue what happened, so you've got to continue to read past this issue, which I read, I think, the next two issues, to understand why Spider-Woman is in this predicament and why she's captured by Hydra. Now, you also need to read Marvel Spotlight 33, which I do believe is the last issue of that series, as Devil Slayer and Deathlok tangle. Now, Deathlok is pulled from this future of his in 1990, which is so dystopian. Ooh, boy, they got that one wrong. And he messes around with Devil Slayer, and then at the end of that book, he gets pulled away and teleported. And he's actually teleported into Marvel 2-in-1 number 26. Now, I went ahead and read 26 through 28 before I read 29, because I already read number 25, which was with... on episode 45 with the Multiverse of Badness boys, as we covered the Iron Fist and Thing team up. Now, in 26 through 28, you're going to understand why we're trying to save Deathlok, what happened to him, why Reed Richards is trying to save him, and how he knows about the Doctor in this story, just to get to number 29. So yeah, there literally is about six issues you need to read just to understand this story. And even when the story is over, the continuation of it carries on, I do believe, for like three issues, and I need to finish those. Now, there is some... I want to kind of talk about the differences between issue 25 and issue 29, because I thought about having Zach and Mike come on for this issue. I even talked to them about it, but number 25 is so terrible, and they're like, you need to really get us to come on for better books. And I was like, well, this isn't really a better book, but it's still pretty good compared to number 25. So, Iron Fist, just off the top, he is referenced this during the fight with Shang-Chi and Thing. He says, listen, Shortcake. Thing's got a ton of names because he always has nicknames for everybody. We got Shortcake, we got Skinny, we got Smiley. He calls Shang-Chi everything in the book besides his real name. So he says, listen, Shortcake, I don't know what you're doing here or even why you attacked me, but Ben Grimm don't like being no man's target. And, Things kind of got him bent over and about to punch him, and Shang-Chi realizes, oh shit, I'm screwed, this dude is pretty strong. And he says, especially skinny little kung fuers. I got my fill of that with Iron Fist a few weeks back, and that was enough for anyone. Now, he didn't fight Iron Fist. That's what I don't understand. They fought some medieval martial arts type people, but he really didn't fight a deal with any type of martial arts. I mean, he pretty much smashed everybody he come in contact with. But a big difference is number 25 is a pure team up compared to number 29, which has the classic, hey, let's make Marvel heroes fight each other before the team up, which is far better than what we got in issue 25. What also helps is we have known enemies from Marvel continuity, which are Hydra, and we don't have some throwaway countries that are at war with each other with some crazy convoluted story. Now, number 25 has nothing to do with Ben Grimm's self-doubts in regards to his relationship with Alicia Masters. And that is the core of the thing at this time. And not having that in 25 really takes away from the character of Thing. In number 25, they get right to the point really, really quickly. And this really, Marv Wolfman does a really good job of making the Thing be the Thing and the core elements of the Thing while teaming up with Shang-Chi and getting the core elements of what Shang-Chi's going through in Master of Kung Fu and what the direction that Doug Minch has taken that book in. So that instantly makes this book so much better than 25. And Marv Wolfman does a really good job of blending the inner turmoil of both heroes together to make this actually feel like it's both of their books and just not a random team-up books. Now, this inner turmoil, what really makes it really good about this story is even these past books I've read after 25 and Marvel team-up, or in Marvel 2-in-1, Ben's inner turmoil in them is what really pushes him to be a hero. Because we see how much he cares for Alicia when it's time to hero up, and all of his self-doubt goes out the window. And that being a hero, despite his appearance, is kind of what proves Shang-Chi that he is wrong. And Shang-Chi's inner turmoil also comes into play, which really helps out. And I'm going to read the page here that we're talking about. It says, elsewhere, how many times must I be shown that I've become a fool? The path I've forsaken, the path of peace, by embracing the violent road to hell. I love that. It's written really, really well. Yet, is not violence in my heritage? Indeed, how could any son of Fu Manchu, the supreme evil in this world, that's questionable, do any less than continue in his father's bloody footsteps? Once I loved my father, but then I killed him. Once I believed the world wished for peace, then I met Smith and Petrie and learned that it craved war. For without it, these people feel useless, unfulfilled. Twice I believed in others besides myself, and twice I've been lied to. How many more lies and deceptions will it take before I learn only to believe in myself, in Shang-Chi? As I said, Wolfman does a really good job of bringing you the core of what Shang-Chi is going through in Master of Kung Fu. Now, these doubts is what brings both heroes into the conflict. Ben's worried about his appearance, and that inner turmoil right there about how he looks is exactly what brings Shang-Chi in to attack him, because he hears Alicia scream, he sees a monster running down the stairs, automatically thinks that he's the problem. And to read from the book, once he sees a thing, he says, my name is Shang-Chi, I heard the girl scream, and now I see the reason behind it. Get away from her, monster. The Thing, being the Thing, he's like, what are you yapping about, Smiley? The girl's mine. Shang-Chi's inner monologue says, the monster speaks, yet I must not listen to his words. Too often, human monsters have made me believe one story while another is the truth. And this kind of references what I was just reading about being lied. He's believed too many people that have lied to him, and he's got to start believing his own feelings. And here he feels that he's right about this monster causing Alicia Masters to scream. And I really love how that's all tied together. It's really, really good. And that's what makes the story really good, because when I was like, man, I don't want to read this after reading number 25, turns out, way better story. Now, the thing is, like we've just talked about, he's been lied to by both Fu Manchu and Sir Dennis Nayland Smith, and now Shang-Chi believes the Thing is lying to him. Now, the thing is, he's dealt with the Man-Thing early on in his career, and the Man-Thing really didn't attack him and try to kill him, and then he learned that looks could be deceiving, Now, my guess for this whole story is, now that everything has went down with MI6 and the Golden Dagger saga, go check out 4 episodes of that. It's a really, really good story. Shang-Chi doesn't trust any outsiders. We know that he has left MI6. The other members, Liko Clive and Blackjack Tar, have left MI6 because he doesn't trust anybody. But Ben mentions Iron Fist, and that's what really gets Shang-Chi thinking that maybe he's wrong about Ben Grimm. Then, Thing protecting Alicia Masters pushes this point, and there is a joke that kind of does help, which I've already mentioned with Iron Fist, but it's the blood on the table in the floor and Thing's willingness to protect Alicia Masters at all costs, which really makes Shang-Chi realize that he's wrong. Now, their fight is exactly what it should be between a martial arts master and a guy who physically fights the Hulk. Shang-Chi's outclassed. So the first thing he does is he leaps up. He takes both of his fists as he wraps his legs around the Thing's waist, slams them into his ears. Literally does nothing to him. And he's just beating the Thing in the face. And the Thing's pretty much like, really? Is this what we're going to do? So he grabs Shang-Chi in this bear hug, leans him over, and tries to literally clobbering. And this is where Shang-Chi is using his speed. He uses the Thing's momentum, throws him overhead. It's so funny. The Thing gets so mad, he's like, all right, I told you I'm tired of kung fu-iness, lifts a sofa and just hurls it at him. And this is where Shang-Chi sees the blood, realizes he's wrong, and completely surrenders, and it kind of throws the Thing for a loop. They quickly resolve their issues, and the story moves on. Now, the fight with the Hydra goons later on, it's nothing to bring up. They get squashed pretty easy. They're cannon fodder, they're henchmen, that's what they're there for. Now, Spider-Woman being caught by Hydra, that completely caught me off guard. When we last see her breaking away from Hydra, it's because of Nick Fury, and we don't know the continuation of her story, so we're thinking, hey, she's going to go after Hydra. She's going to be a good guy. There's just no explanation in this book why they have captured her again, even though we know that they wanted to. There's no explanation. They just capture her. Now, it's, like I said, these next couple issues, if you want to understand why she's caught, you've got to read on. It does a really good job of leading you on in this Marvel 2-in-1. I really think I'm just going to have to go back and read this series, because I did not expect this run that I read to be this interesting. Now, if you've not read anything with Spider-Woman, you might be shocked when you see her, because she doesn't have the hair sticking out of her hood, which looks far much better with this classic costume. And I really like that. And like I said, I'm going to continue to read the story with Spider-Woman because now I'm curious. I've always liked Jessica Drew. I guess the perfect bromance in comics when regarded to female characters. I don't know what you would call the equivalent of a bromance. But I love Jessica Drew and Carol Danvers. Carol Danvers has a lot of mixed emotions among readers and whatnot, but man, I loved Carol forever. I love the old Miss Marvel stuff. I always loved when her and Jessica were on the same page. It's really good. But like I said, man, I'm going to read these. I was surprised that it was this good. I really wish that maybe I would have got the guys from Multiverse of Madness to come on, because I think they would have probably back-read a lot of this, and they probably would have really enjoyed this story. It was surprisingly really, really good. And enough for me to continue reading on. This is 29. I read 30, and I think 31 and 32 wraps up the Spider-Woman story. And maybe I'll just read Spider-Woman after this, when Bronze Age Monster guys were doing the World by Night podcast. A lot of the stuff with Russell and Jessica, I really liked when they talked about it, so I probably will continue to read the character. But with that, this has been the Deadly Podcast Kung Fu. You can follow us over on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me, JVD, over on Twitter at JVDFTBD. If you like our music, check out Kuro's song, Russian Tiger, on SoundCloud. But in the end, guys, remember, support your favorite podcasts, support your local comic book shops, and keep reading comics, guys.
Yeah.